I ended up on Aurora originally as a teenager, a young teenager. I was pimped out. And it became, I think because I was so young, just that's what I knew. I actually started on Aurora right on 115th. At the bus stop right by Home Depot is where I first turned my first trick.
You know, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow. How old were you?
13.
What do 13-year-olds like to do?
I don't know. As my mom would tell it, I went from playing with Barbies to being on Aurora. So I guess there were still Barbies on my floor when I left. So. I left the life for a long period of time and then returned when I was really heavy in my addiction and had become homeless because it was a means to make money to support my addiction. I guess round two was convenience. The first time was I was an easy target. I had low self-esteem and I didn't really have much value in myself.
Okay, Erica, just bear with me here. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to step onto Aurora. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you see, what you smell, who you talk to. Give us a picture of what life was like in a 24-hour period. For you.
I step onto a where I see just it feels like endless road with cars constantly going back and forth. It smells like cheap restaurants and gasoline and just I don't know, city street. I just remember tired feet, like constantly walking, and you never know if you're going to get picked up right away or if you're going to be walking. I mean, I've walked miles before without being picked up or being picked up and just the ridiculous, like, haggling between customers. And, yeah, once money's made, it's... straight to the dope man and getting high so that I can face the rest of my day walking back and forth up and down Aurora. And it's just basically, it's like repeat over and over and over again.
What were things that you would think about? Whatever random things come to your mind. Like what would you think about?
I don't think I can say that on the radio.
Okay.
I just remember feeling completely hopeless, like hating every moment of my life, but not feeling like there was anything left. I mean, I'd gotten clean before, and I knew that it took a lot of energy, and I didn't feel like I had it in me. I just felt completely shut out from the world, with no hope, absolutely no hope.
Do you remember the day we met?
I do. It was a bittersweet day because, I mean, the day started out so bad. I was just ready to end everything. I'm going to cry. I was on my way to kill myself, and I happened to walk by the Aurora Commons, had no clue what it was, and I had literally walked from 125th. To 90th and had broken my shoe. It was raining. I was walking with barefoot in the rain and here comes this little white lady. Cute, but just a normie.
Looks a little normie.
tells me I look like I need a cup of coffee. And I said, no, really, I need a pair of shoes. And you said, well, I might be able to help you with that too. And I came in and just sat down and had conversation, and at some point in that conversation felt okay enough to open up and felt a moment of hope. enough that I obviously didn't end everything then. So, yeah.
And then we were friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Friends since. I mean, we've had our moments. But one friendship doesn't have their moments. So,
I mean, that's real friendship.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, showing up and being there for one another in our most raw and vulnerable spaces.
But I think the messiness of, like, just the messiness of my life, like, made it so much easier to, like, be real and keep it real. And, yeah. like, just be vulnerable in that space. Like, mm-hmm. in a time that I constantly felt judged or looked down upon, I had a safe place where I wasn't. You were kind of my safe place. So, yeah.
Okay. We've talked, like, in the past. I mean, you and I have known each other for how many years now? Like
2013, I think it was. 13. So 5 years.
5 years. God, it feels like so much longer.
I know.
But another thing we were just talking about earlier today was talking about how cared for I felt by you. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing for me is at the end of the night at our women's drop-in, mm-hmm. closing the door and walking that block to my house.
Yeah.
And I remember one time, and I wonder if you remember this too, mm-hmm. that I was getting ready to go on vacation with my family to Mexico. Mm-hmm. It might not have been Mexico, but it was someplace warm.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
No, but as you tell me, I might.
And it wasn't rare, but when I was locking up, mm-hmm. and you had literally no place to go.
Yeah.
After I locked those doors. And it was raining. Mm-hmm. You walked me home like you did very often.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood outside my house. And you told me that you couldn't wait to hear how great my vacation was. And then I walked into my house and watched you walk away in the rain. And you blessed me. You blessed my going. You told me to go and enjoy this life as you went out. And I want to thank you for that.
I think one of the hardest things being unhoused was not getting angry and bitter at people because their circumstance was better than mine. And I wasn't good at it all the time. Apparently that was a version of it. I mean, I think that's part of being a friend to somebody, even if everything's bad in your life, you can still be happy for somebody because theirs is. And I mean, you of all people need a vacation. I don't even know how to respond to that one.
Well, part of what feels like it was so stunning and kind for you to bless me in my going was because we also have the other side of friendship.
Yeah.
Like, we've straight up, like, yelled at one another.
Yeah.
Like, fought.
Yeah. I remember that clearly.
You've stolen from me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and that's part of what, like,
it's
that's like, what makes all of this so beautiful is to have this rounded friendship.
Yeah.
So what started to happen in you that you started your process, your journey of beginning to reimagine your life in a new way of being in the world?
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. It was a bunch of things, like life events that happened. I think where I can, like, first say is I remember being raped on Aurora and walking down Aurora scared and angry and hurt, and my sister driving by me and picking me up, and I hadn't seen her in with that time, like 3 years. And her picking me up and driving me to the Commons and just letting me know that she hasn't given up on me. And her just consistently, I think my sister was a huge part of it because she lived close. And so I swear everybody on Aurora, every business, every homeless person has one of my sister's business cards because she would literally drive up and down Aurora handing out her business card, begging people to let me know that somebody was looking for me. She tried countless times. She got motel rooms for me, drove me to detox, just constantly let me know that, like, I am not forgotten about. And then I just think, like, wanting to be there for my kids, having a conversation with my oldest daughter and her asking me, begging me to not get high on her birthday. Once that happened, like, just coming to you and Elizabeth and saying, I need to get, I can't do this anymore. And it took a while. It took like 6 months once I was ready to like align everything to happen. But just like, I had so many people that were like pulling for me. And I mean, I couldn't have done it on my own. Like, there's no way that with the way our system is, I could have done this on my own. There's no way that I could have called detox centers every single day to see if there was a bed, and then
with no phone
and not even like being aware enough of what time it was to call. And then even if you do get into detox, what if there's not a bed for treatment after that? Having an ID to be able to do these things, it took a lot of people helping through that.
Do you recall the 24 hours before you stepped foot off of Aurora?
Yes. I play it over my head a lot. I had been up for days. I was a mess. I started out in a bathroom in a park. Gosh, I forget the name of it. The one over...
Licton Springs.
Licton Springs Park. And going to work to get enough money that I could get my last fix. And I just remember finally getting enough money to get it, drying up the shot, and somebody just like snatching the shot for me. And at that point, not knowing what to do, I went and knocked on your door and asked if I could sleep on your porch. And I slept. It's not really a porch. It's kind of like a room.
But... I was like, wait, we didn't make you sleep outside, did we?
No.
Okay. I was like, I'm not a nice person. Okay, you slept inside.
Yes, okay, I slept right. Inside. And I remember you tried to give me a Pendleton blanket, and I was like, no way am I going to ruin this blanket.
I totally remember that.
And so I slept with this moving blanket, and I still have it to this day.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Andy gave it to me. I slept. Andy woke me up in the morning with coffee and drove me to the Bourne Clinic. And I laid on the ground, literally on the sidewalk on Bourne, waiting for the Suboxone doctor, and had the appointment, came back and waited to go to the Hope House.
So when you think about Erica on Aurora, Erica sitting here with me, how would you have named yourself then? And how do you name yourself now?
I think then invisible, hopeless, hurt, angry. And now I'm... Although there's still hurt, I don't name myself hurt. I name myself, like, I don't know. Sometimes strong. Not always, but strong. Hopeful. A mother. A friend. A sister. Survivor. More like warrior. I'm too strong to be a survivor. Too outspoken, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Bold.
Bold, beautiful.
Honest.
Warrior.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go from here?
To Disneyland.
Let's do it.
Just kidding. Where do I want to go? I don't know. I go back and forth. I want to do so many things. I think it's part of, like, missing out on so much. There's so many things I want to do. Like, there's so many things I'm passionate about. I mean, I want to help people. And I don't really even know what that looks like right now. I'm still trying to figure that out. I just know that there's a lot of hurt people that are going through the same things that I've been through. If I had to read the future, I would say that I'll probably do something in social justice, helping, whether that means me going back to school or just being a peer mentor. I think that also, as human beings, and I'm guilty of this too, is if we ignore the problem, it's not there. But no matter how much you ignore it, like, this issue isn't going away until something's done.